The Journey Hometown Journal.
Dementia is a general term for memory loss and other cognitive abilities that are serious enough to kind of interfere with daily life. But Alzheimer's disease accounts for about 60 to 80% of all dementia cases.
Welcome to the Hometown Journal. I'm Mark Edwards. There are more than 7 million people age 65 and older in the United States living with Alzheimer's. And today we're going to learn about an organization that is raising awareness and helping those dealing with the disease. Our guest is Christine John Fuller. Christine is the executive director of the Alzheimer's Association Eastern North Carolina chapter. Christine, welcome. Thank you for being with us. Tell us a little bit about your background and how that led you to working with the Alzheimer's Association.
Well, I appreciate your invitation to be here. We are always honored when we get to share a little bit about what we do and how we can connect with the community. I've actually been involved with the association for about 8 years. However, I got my start many moons ago in voluntary health work at other disease state organizations and really had a passion for individuals that are impacted by life-altering or threatening diseases. And it really led me to places where I had personal connections. So I worked for the MS Society because my mother was living with the disease. I worked for another autoimmune disease organization. And I grew up as a teenage caregiver to my grandmother who's living with Alzheimer's. So when the opportunity worked for me to matriculate to the organization, it was a perfect fit for a passion that I already had.
When we talk about Alzheimer's, some people, they'll refer to Alzheimer's and then they'll refer to dementia as if they're two different diseases, but that's not really the case, is it?
You're spot on. So I always explain it this way. Think of dementia as kind of an umbrella term, which kind of describes that loss of cognitive functioning. But Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. It happens to be the most common form of dementia. It's a general term. Dementia is a general term for memory loss and other cognitive abilities that are serious enough to kind of interfere with daily life. But Alzheimer's disease accounts for about 60 to 80% of all dementia cases.
Where are we right now as far as in our country, the number of people that have Alzheimer's?
Well, as you can imagine, when we've got an age group of baby boomers that are continuing to age into that 65 plus category, we have quite a few individuals who are in the highest risk category for the disease. While age is not the only risk, it definitely is the largest risk from that standpoint. But think about it from that standpoint. So today, more than ever before, we have crossed over that seven million people mark, and there's roughly about 7.2 million individuals that are 65 older in the U.S. that are living with Alzheimer's disease. And if you kind of break that down locally, in North Carolina, it's more than 210,000. And in Virginia, that's 164,000 individuals age 65 plus that are living with Alzheimer's.
And we'll talk a little bit later about some of the health issues that can contribute to someone having Alzheimer's. But tell us about the association and some of the services that are provided.
Well, you know, I said earlier that I had a connection when I was younger, and one of the things that I tell people often is my family didn't realize the association existed when we needed help navigating the caregiving journey with my grandmother. And so our jobs every single day are to, one, make sure that families realize that we exist, that we have support services in their own backyards across the country, no matter where they are, to help them navigate the journey. And so while we do that every single day in many different ways, from our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline to our educational programs that are available in person or on demand or in live webinars to various different other things that we do, support groups, we are making sure that we're focusing on families during the stages of the disease, which can change on a daily basis. The other piece of that is, in the midst of taking care of families, every single day, we are in pursuit of the best science that's out there in relation to supporting dementia science and unlocking answers to this very, very complicated disease.
Today on the Hometown Journal, we are talking about Alzheimer's disease and the work of the Alzheimer's Association. Our guest is Christine John Fuller, the Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Association Eastern North Carolina Chapter. We'll be back with more in a minute.
It's good for your family.
That's a big thing, too.
Oh, yeah, I have kids.
Take us on your journey with the My Journey FM app.
The price is right. The mobility is right.
100% free. You can download it for both iOS and Android.
Anytime, anywhere.
We listen to it all the time.
Get the My Journey FM app today.
Now back to more of the Journey Hometown Journal.
Mark Edwards back with you, along with our guest, Christine John Fuller of the Alzheimer's Association Eastern North Carolina Chapter. By the way, if you would like to learn more about the organization and the services they offer as you're listening, visit the National Chapter website, that's alz.org, and then from there you can find the Eastern North Carolina Chapter or your area chapter if you're living in other parts of North Carolina and Virginia. Christine, what are some of the health issues, the health risks that can play a factor in someone being diagnosed with Alzheimer's?
Yeah. Well, we actually find out probably every day about more things that kind of fall into that risk factor category. So we talked about the fact that the greatest known risk factor is increasing age, but that is not the only risk factor. And it's really important to realize there's lots of things, whether that be some hereditary components, maybe it's a genetic mutation, or maybe it is a propensity for the disease within a family. It might be things like high blood pressure, other comorbidities. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's other lifestyle decisions that could impact that, whether that be smoking, whether that be trauma, maybe that physical or emotional trauma that somehow triggers, obviously, stress. There's quite a few different ways in which people can be impacted. And we find out about other things as well. So, when you are in an area that maybe has had a lot of forest fires, they just came out with a study last year that talked about the fact that the smoke inhalation from forest fires actually has a correlatable number back to individuals that they're seeing numbers of Alzheimer's in areas that have high fires in their area as well. So a lot of things to take into effect from an environmental standpoint to what's going on within the body.
So maintaining good overall health can reduce the possibility of developing Alzheimer's?
Huge difference for individuals. The risk factors like age can't be changed, but the important thing to know is that as many as 45% of dementia cases may be attributed to those modifiable risk factors. So again, I mentioned like high blood pressure or lack of physical activity, those types of things. We know by research, and we're going to even learn more about that in just a couple of months, that adopting healthy behaviors like exercise, quality sleep can really improve brain health and reduce the risk to cognitive decline. So literally later this month, we will be convening the world's top scientists and minds on dementia science. And we do an international research conference for the Alzheimer's Association. And one of the big studies that's going to be reported out is one that actually is from our own backyard in North Carolina. It's called the U.S. Pointer Study, and it has been a lifestyle modification study that we have been doing for several years and has been led by a principal investigator out of Wake Forest University. And we anticipate that the results are really going to show a clear line between making decisions from a lifestyle factor standpoint and what that can do to help reduce the risk of cognitive decline.
And you said that study is coming out in a couple of months?
It actually later this month. So they will be in Toronto is where this conference is this year. So at the end of July, we will be coming out with that information and we'll be sharing a lot about what they found out through that and how that might be able to be implemented in our daily lives in various different ways.
Related to that, where are we right now as far as advancements in medical research when it comes to treating Alzheimer's and hopefully one day a cure for it?
Yeah, and I appreciate that you parceled it out into those two pieces, because I think it's important to remember that there is, you know, a pursuit for, you know, for treatments that slow the progression of the disease. We have had for quite a while, you know, treatments that are helping address the symptoms of the disease, but we're positioned in a better place than ever before. So, you know, up until just a few years ago, the treatments that we had were addressing symptoms. They were helping quiet, you know, maybe that is anxiety or different things that people might be having related to the disease. Just a little over 3 years ago, we started to get a couple of treatments on the market that are disease modifying treatments, meaning they are literally slowing the progression of the disease. And so these treatments are the first time ever where people actually in the earliest stages of the disease can be on these treatments and see more time with their family, the ability to be able to be a part of the decision-making process because they have more time to be able to do so. So that's critically important, but it's important to remember that these are two treatments only in the earliest stages of the disease, and they do not necessarily work for everyone. So the important thing is we have so many other types of treatments looking at other pathways that we can possibly mitigate this disease in some way that are coming down the pipeline. And so it's a very exciting time in not only one, identifying those treatments, but again, like you said, ultimately, we hope to get to a place in which we are able to have preventative options that we're able to maybe one day say that we have figured out and unlocked the key to the first survivor of Alzheimer's, if you will, from that standpoint, and other things like diagnostics. So literally back just a month ago, we got the first ever FDA cleared blood test for Alzheimer's disease, meaning that as we get clinical guidelines and as it starts getting adopted within primary care physicians, different things like this, it will be a blood biomarker test that is a blood draw that can be done in a doctor's office that can help maybe someone who is experiencing concerns, has gone through a cognitive assessment, realizes that there are some concerns, might get them on the path to a positive diagnosis faster so that they have the opportunity for some of these early intervention treatments. So these are the things that are coming out of the research world right now that are critical. Important to people for early detection, early diagnosis, and again, hopefully in the near future, the ability for people to never even have to hear that they have a diagnosis.
On this edition of the Hometown Journal, we are talking about some of the possible causes of Alzheimer's and the medical advancements and research that is helping to treat the disease. We'll have more with our guest, Christine John Fuller, Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Association Eastern North Carolina Chapter, in a minute. If you would like more information on the association and a chapter in your area, visit alz.org.
Staying connected these days is easier than ever.
Connect with people you don't know.
And staying connected with the journey is just a tap away.
Get the most out of technology.
The My Journey FM app exists for your listening enjoyment, no matter where you are.
I'm in traffic right now.
As well as giving you the ability to support this ministry and check out what songs have recently played.
Man, I'm talking about a big God, big God.
Get the app at your app store. Life, hope, music. The Journey.
Now back to more of the Journey Hometown Journal.
Mark Edwards back with you along with our guest, Christine John Fuller of the Alzheimer's Association Eastern North Carolina Chapter. As we wrap up today, we want to give Christine an opportunity to talk about volunteer opportunities that are available with the association, and then also what you may need to look for if you have a loved one, a family member, and you're concerned that they might be in the early stages of Alzheimer's.
Well, I think it's important for everyone to remember that signs and symptoms can happen long, long before kind of that age bracket of highest risk, 65 plus. So, you know, we know individuals in their late 40s, early 50s who are diagnosed. So one, we should all be cognizant. There's 10, you know, kind of early signs and symptoms of the disease that we encourage individuals to be aware of for themselves and for their loved ones. That stuff like, you know, memory loss that's disrupting daily life where they cannot necessarily remember that information later. Maybe it's new information and they realize they don't think they've ever heard that information before, or they've been great at, you know, their finances, and then all of a sudden they're having trouble tracking their bills and different things. So they're just, you know, oddities to who they are, or, you know, maybe they're, you know, great cooks and all of a sudden recipes are different than they used to be. But knowing those 10 signs is critically important. And then if a family member or an individual identifies that they're seeing signs in themselves or someone else, the important part is to go see a doctor. And, you know, when you go in and you're talking to your doctor, the important part is to ask for a cognitive assessment. So there should be cognitive assessments on an annual basis starting at age 65. However, that may not always happen. So it's critically important that families ask for that test regardless of age if they're concerned. And that is the starting point for the discovery process, is going through that cognitive assessment, which might be doing some memory-based recall, doing some things that they, some exercises and writing to really be able to assess if maybe there's a concern that needs to be looked at further.
For our listeners in North Carolina and Virginia, and they would like to learn more about the Alzheimer's Association, where should they go to look up the information, the resources available? And then are there volunteer opportunities available?
Absolutely. So I would say this. No matter where you are in the U.S., there is a local chapter that is serving your area, and we are here to serve in any way we can. So first and foremost, alz.org. O-O-R-G is really, really important. So alz.org is the web address where you can find your local chapter. You put in your zip code, it'll tell you what your local chapter is. You can also find an incredible amount of information on our website. We also have a community resource finder where you can put in zip codes and find out about local resources that might be helpful to you. And then one of the most important things you could ever know about is our 800 number. Again, this is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline. Individuals that are masters level care consultants answer the phone and point you in the right direction of information you may need. And that is 1-800-272-3900. Those two things, the web address and the phone number, are also where you can find out about volunteer opportunities, engaging with your local chapter and what we do. We are a volunteer empowered organization, and we need volunteers now more than ever to help us bring our services into our own communities. And I would just tell you that if you think you've got time and you want to see how maybe your passions align with what we have, reach out. We would love to tell you more.
Well, our thanks to Christine John Fuller of the Alzheimer's Association Eastern North Carolina Chapter for being with us on the Hometown Journal. And again, if you would like to find out more information about the Alzheimer's Association, visit alz.org. From there, you can search for your local chapter wherever you may live, and you can find out more about the services they provide. Again, that's alz.org. I'm Mark Edwards. Thank you for joining us for the Hometown Journal.
You've been listening to the Journey Hometown Journal. If you're a part of an organization or know of one in the communities we serve and would like to be considered as a guest, please make your request at myjourneyfm.com. Email office@myjourneyfm.com or call 800-424-9594. The Hometown Journal is a presentation of The Journey.